Let's get started. It's the 6th of May, the day after Cinco de Mayo, so some people might still have a hangover. I don't know why, but that may be. And we're going to be Gabriel.
Yes.
All right, good man. We're going to be finishing, well, we finished up options last week, so we'll take a look at futures, which are similar to options, but not exactly the same. And it won't take long because you'll kind of see that they're similar, but they're actually, as we're going to see, futures do have a reason. They're not just gambling. Commodities, exactly. Started off with commodities. But first, I want to pass out the Baffle the Broker handout. And the Baffle the Broker handout allows you to ask me any question whatsoever about investments, finance, whatever's on your mind. Where do babies come from? Why is the sky blue? If you're so smart, how come you're not rich? So, any question at all. And at the end of the semester, what we do is I collect all these, and then I turn it into a presentation. So our last day is Baffle the Broker, and we'll review for the final. So, any question about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, options if you're so inclined, the short-term investments, anything about personal finance if you want. And then today we're going to do futures, and then we'll start. We should get to margining today. I'm not sure. Okay, a couple people came in. You got your chapters 14 and 15, 15 and 16 from last week? Okay. Okay.
I'm here.
Oh, good. All right. And so assignment number 11 is due on Thursday. It's very simple. Assignment number 18 is even easier. Make sure you do assignment 18, okay, folks? Take you all 5-10 minutes. And then if you're not going to be in town May 29th, you need to contact me ASAP. We're going to discuss the final in detail. We'll go over a calculation, pre-final calculation sheet, which will hint, be just like the calculations on the exam. And then we'll discuss it in more detail. But May 29th is the last day, folks. That's it. If you don't show up, you know, that's it. What can I say? No, it actually starts at 8, but I'll stick around for hours. It starts at 8 o'clock, but I'll be here till noon or so. Just I won't disappear. Just make sure you come. If anybody's interested in bicycling and pedestrian and what they're doing, what? Sure, I'll give you an extra 50,000 bonus points. Pass this around this Friday down an old town. They're in Old Town. There's a pretty good presentation on what they're doing to complete the streets. And some of you might know I'm a big bicycling fan, so I probably will be there. I may not. I might have something to have to do. Okay, but first we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? Nobody has a good joke? Did I tell you about the dumb guy that walked around the world? He drowned. The dumb guy that walked around the world. He drowned. You can't walk around the world. Okay. You haven't figured out you're supposed to bring good jokes by now? I mean, isn't it self-evident? What? You can always ask your phone if you got a good joke. But will it be a good joke? That's a good question. All right, now, what am I forgetting? I'm not sure. But last week, we spent the entire week discussing options. And we found that they're a type of derivative. Well, they're just one type of derivative. There are many types of derivatives. And the other one other major type is futures. But when we were looking at options, we found that there really is no good, in my humble opinion, economic reason for the darn things to be there. You can use them for insurance if you're afraid. You know, your stock is going to fall. You could, if you own the stock, you could buy a put. But then the put disappears and you got to do it again, so insurance ain't free. But in the case of futures do have an economic reason. There is a good reason for these things in terms of planning, especially with the world of commodities, as we're going to see. But at the same time, they can even be more dangerous than options. Because when you trade options, if you're a a buyer of options, you basically lose what you put in. With futures, you could lose a whole lot more than that. And Mark Twain said it best. There are two times in a man's life when he should not speculate. When he can't afford it, and when he can. So, yeah, right, exactly. And Mark Twain, the writer, knew what Samuel Clemens, the real man, didn't know. He had made a sizable little fortune from being a writer, Huckleberry. How many people have not read Huckleberry Finn? It's time to read Huckleberry Finn. Well, you can read. You might like it, but you've seen the movie. There've been several movies. There've been several adaptations of it. Actually, some of them are pretty good, but definitely want to read it. And he had a considerable sum of money, and he got suckered into the most stupidest inventions. Lost not his entire fortune, but he lost quite a bit of his fortune. So he learned the hard way, and I hope that you won't learn the hard way. What are futures? Well, they're a derivative in that they derive their value from some other item, like options. But they are a commitment. Again, they're a contract, futures contract, to deliver a certain amount of some specified item at some specified date in the future. The buyer and the seller specify the commodity or the financial instrument, hang on a minute, to be delivered and paid when the contract matures. The futures price is guaranteed by the contract. And again, it's like options. Options contracts, it's hard to say. Futures contracts are hard to say, so most people just say futures. Futures started with commodities, hard assets, real assets, wheat, soybean, cattle, pork bellies. If you ever saw the movie called Trading Places, they talk about pork bellies. What are pork bellies? Bacon. That's bacon, right? That's the belly of that's what bacon is made out of. Gold, oil, etc. But they've since moved to financial assets. And we'll see that we can get our head around oil and gold and wheat. That makes sense. That's something we can see. But when you buy a future on a financial asset, well, it makes sense eventually. But let's take a look at this example, which I hope makes it fairly clear. What is the purpose of a future contract, a futures contract? Well, producers of commodities use futures contracts extensively, especially when you're producing a lot of this stuff, whatever that happens to be. You're a wheat farmer in Iowa, right? And you plant 1,000 acres. I don't know if that's realistic or not. I'm not a farmer. But let's say you have 1,000 acres in Iowa. And if you've ever been to Iowa, it is. If you're a farmer, if you're not a farmer, it can be pretty dull. But I've been to Iowa, and it was pretty interesting. I mean, and it's not flat. Cornfields, wheat fields, soybeans, and
50 miles.
Yeah, and pigs everywhere, and not as much cattle in Iowa. I was surprised, but lots of pigs. The farmer knows that if all goes well, Lord willing, the creek don't rise, come September, he will have 500,000 bushels of wheat. All right? That's the future. Now, could things go badly? Right. Or things could go really, really well. But what in April he sees when he goes on his computer or he talks to his broker is that wheat futures currently selling now in April are selling for $6 per bushel. Do you understand? He can sell his wheat now. He just put the seeds in the ground, but he can sell that wheat now to be delivered in September for $6 a bushel. You understand? That's what futures are for. So he can say, Dale, I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take that $6 right now. He can sell his wheat via the wheat futures contract while it's still in the ground. He can guarantee a price that he is happy with, and will result in a profit. The contract states that he will deliver the wheat in September and receive $6 per bushel no matter what happens to wheat prices. Now, what happens? Well, he hasn't got paid yet. He bought the contract. When he delivers the wheat, he'll get paid $6. But if things go badly, what's going to happen to the price of wheat? It's going to skyrocket. But what does he have to do? He has to sell for $6 a bushel. Because he made a contract. Now, if this is why farming is such a difficult business. If everything goes well, and there's wheat everywhere. Everybody's crops did really, really well. They got a bumper crop. What happens to the price? It plummets. It's, farming is a difficult business, folks. I don't know if anybody, I mean, we're all, I don't know, maybe some of you are from the rural areas, yeah. It's not an easy business. We urbanites just don't understand how difficult it is. So it's a bad year. Price goes skyrocketing. He doesn't have any wheat to sell. It's a great year. It's got plenty of wheat to sell. The price goes down. What? Yeah, I know. But that's why there are government programs that we talk about where if things are really, I'm sorry?
They got to get subsidies.
Right. Or if things are going really, really well, they will pay farmers not to plant. You know, don't plant. You know, please, this year, just don't, you don't plant, we'll pay you. I don't know. I probably make so. But yeah, I know, I understand that. It does make it seem strange, but if you did that, if they didn't do this, then there'd be a glut of this stuff, and I'm not a farmer, what can I say?
Even if it goes well, though, and everyone has wheat, isn't he still committed to his $6?
Right, exactly. He's going to, if the price plummets, he's protected. He still gets to sell his wheat at $6 a bushel. Make sense? Yeah.
Oh, no. I was just thinking, like, how the supply and demand. Because I used to work at a restaurant, and then when it was really cold season, like, the romaine and lettuce would just go up because it would get frostbite into the berries. Like, oh, it was ridiculous. Because if it got too cold, some of the more delicate berries were already good, and they want that stuff.
Well, I know. That's why that's.
It's on the menu, you have to get it. Like, both?
This is the problem with being a farmer or being a, you know, whatever, a fisherman. I'm not sure about fishing, but it's still probably the same thing. There's a ton of fish this year. All the fishermen got plenty of fish, and the price.
Well, that situation is like, I guess banks like loan fishermen the money so that they can get going, but then they have to get paid back when people sell it.
Right. And the same thing is true for farmers. You know, some of their best friends are bankers. Right. Now, it's a difficult. Look, we are urbanites. We have no idea how difficult it is to be a farmer. It's a very what? Farmville? No thanks. The last thing. This is the thing that drives me nuts. Okay, everybody, who didn't get a Baffle the Broker? I cannot imagine, folks. I spend so much time in front of a terminal now, a computer now. The last thing I want to do when I go home on my time off is sit in front of Farcebook or Farmville and be a social disease, social networking kind of guy. Okay, so this is the producer, okay? Who else uses futures? The consumers. The consumers of the commodity, of the item. If you're Kellogg's or your General Mills or your Post Cereal, are you going to go down to the local, you know, co-op where they got this little, you know, plot of land? No, you need hundreds of thousands of bushels of wheat. So you can buy the wheat. Today, in April, or now it's May or whatever, selling for $6 in September when you need it. You understand? And guarantee that you're only going to pay $6 for that wheat. Now, what are the advantages and disadvantages? When you're the producer, when you're the consumer?
But if that's what's
Southwest Airlines. Yeah, a few years ago, when it was 2008, actually, it was more than a few years ago, when oil just skyrocketed, Southwest was the only airline that had made any money. Why? Because they had bought extensive futures of oil, kerosene. They use jet fuel, kerosene. It's like diesel fuel, and not gasoline. But same idea. And they were the only airline that made money during the 2008 season because they had a ton of these futures, and they were able to buy gas, oil, kerosene, at a cheaper price than everybody else.
So that's like at a fixed rate.
You fix it via the contract.
Yeah.
You understand? Now, yes. For you, if you're the consumer or the producer, do you understand? You know, hey, I can plan. I know this is what my cost is going to be in September when I buy this stuff or when I sell it if I'm the farmer. So the advantage is that you smooth things out, you can plan better. What's the disadvantage? Yeah, if you're the producer and prices skyrocket, oh well, you're stuck. If you're the consumer and prices plummet, oh well, you got to buy it. That you said you were going to buy it at that price. Make sense?
But isn't it Southwest Airlines getting money during that time? Like, how do they make money because of the contract or what?
No, because they were able to.
Selling that with
No. They remember, if you're an airline, your biggest of course, the price of the they usually lease the planes for 30, 40 years. But one of your biggest inputs, your biggest cost, is kerosene, fuel, because they use a ton of fuel. And so if you're a huge consumer, is that something that's broken? Not that bad. If you're a consumer of oil and you see the price going up and up and up and up, what are you going to do? Well, Southwest, before the price skyrocketed, They purchased these futures contracts for kerosene to be delivered on a certain date. And for that reason, they paid far less for their kerosene than all the other airlines. And because of that, they were able to make a profit from, you know, ticket prices, which is what they mostly make their profit. Now, many of the airlines are making money. You know what off of? The airlines are starting to make money again.
Baggage.
Oh, and and do you want a pillow? Oh, that'll be $5. And do you want a little blankie? What? Yeah, they charge for pillows. They charge for water. What food?
They don't even have food out anymore.
No. Well, you shouldn't eat it anyway. Bring your own food on the airline. Bring your own food. No, not some of them. Some of them are charging for water. They're going to start charging. They're going to start charging for oxygen. That's what they're going to start. Oh, you want to breathe? There you go. Okay. So, what is the purpose of futures? Futures contracts allow producers and consumers of commodities to hedge. Hedge. Have you heard the phrase "hedge your bet"? Hedge your bet. Well, it means, hey, you've thrown your lot in this area. You think these pork bellies are the new greatest thing. But you're going to take a position opposite your underlying position to protect yourself. The farmer is protecting himself from wheat prices falling. The cereal companies are protecting themselves from wheat prices rising. Hedging is taking a position, a futures position, opposite to your existing position. The farmer is going to have the wheat, so he sells it. The cereal companies are going to need the wheat, so they buy it. But they're going to need it anyway, right? They're just now locking in what they're going to buy it at, and the farmer's going to lock it in at what he or she sells it at. And this happens, this has been going on for hundreds of years, folks. Futures are nothing new. They are for most all commodities. When you hear that a barrel of oil is selling for $100 a barrel, that's not today, folks. That's 3 months from today. That They normally quote the 3 month, because there are 6 month and 9 month futures. They normally, when you hear that the price of oil has gone to this amount, that's oil to be delivered 3 months from today at a certain location at a certain price. Make sense? Yes. That's what's it's for trading. It's like stocks. It's like bonds. There are people trading back and forth. So there are people saying, okay, you know, I'm going to have 100,000 barrels of oil in 3 months. What will you pay for them? And somebody who needs them, you know, the refineries will say, I will pay $100 a barrel. Well, exactly. It's basically the wholesale price, because who's going to buy a barrel of oil? You know, what are you going to do with a barrel of oil? You know, so it's all wholesale because you're dealing with huge companies. But most of these commodities, you and I would never buy. We buy the finished product. We're not going to buy, you know, tons of cotton. You know, we're not going to buy cattle. It just doesn't, you know, coffee. We buy coffee, but we buy a pound, right? These people buy 100,000 pounds, right? So that's right now coffee's going up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not everything. Wages aren't going up. Wages aren't going up. What? Seattle went to $15?
Yeah. San Diego's thinking
$13.09. I don't think it'll go that high.
Yeah.
You see?
What?
San Diego City?
Yeah.
$13? I haven't heard anything about that. I'd be surprised.
Forget.
What?
No.
I don't want a TV, sweetheart. I do not want a television. I like to read, and that is good enough for me. Well, it is and it isn't. You know, it's all... Exactly. All the studies have shown that it works and it doesn't work. Exactly. It helps people because they have more money to spend, so it helps the economy, but it hurts the economy because it costs businesses more. So it's so far the economists are basically, there are some who choose both sides, you know, one side or the other side, but all the studies have basically shown that it's a wash. It helps and it hurts, so okay. Make people feel better, all right. What are financial futures? Well, the financial world adopted the technique of financial contracts to financial assets, treating financial assets like commodities. So currencies, interest rates, stock and bond indices. I will deliver $25,000 worth of British pounds to you next April. I will purchase $10,000 worth of the S&P 500 from you next August. So you see, the financial world started treating stocks and bonds and interest rates and currencies like commodities, which makes sense. Wait, why? Why? You're sounding, you're thinking, why? Why would you do that? For those working in the world of finance, and especially international business, they can be very useful tools. You're a car manufacturer, and you know that you're going to need to purchase 50,000 engines from a supplier in Japan next October. And they want their money in yen. You've got your money in dollars. So the manufacturer can buy a currency future for $20 million worth of Japanese yen payable in October. Do you understand? No? Well, what happens if the dollar plummets next to the yen? That's right, the dollar's worth yen less, so you might have to pay $25 million or $30 million. By saying, I am going to buy $20 million worth of yen at this dollar to yen ratio, you are guaranteeing I think I can make a profit doing this. But if the dollar were to strengthen relative to the yen, oh well, you would pay less, but no, you've committed to this futures contract. So you're kind of stuck. Now, just like options, you can always close out the transaction. You can walk away from the contract, sell to somebody else. But we'll deal with that in a moment. This protects the manufacturer from adverse currency fluctuations. For example, the dollar falls relative to the yen. He's hedging his bets. He knows he's going to need $20 million worth of Japanese yen today, but he doesn't know what's going to happen to the dollar 6 months from now, 5 months from now. So he says, I will lock in that rate today with a currency future. Make sense? So they're using the same idea that commodities producers and consumers have done for hundreds of years for cattle and soybeans and wheat. They're doing the same thing with currencies and stocks and bonds and interest rates. Can anyone purchase futures? Lucky you! You don't have to work in either the commodities world or the finance world to buy and sell futures contracts. Because instead of being a producer or a consumer, you can simply be a speculator. You can sit in between the two and try to guess what's going to happen to the price. You can simply buy and sell the futures contracts. You're never going to actually take delivery or deliver the commodity nor the financial assets. You could buy those 500,000 bushels to be delivered in September even though you live in a condo in West LA and you've never even seen a farm. Do you understand?
So why would you?
That's a good question. Why would you? Because you believe the price is going to go up. Do you understand? Because then you're going to be holding on to a contract that says you could buy it at 6 and it's selling for 9. And what would you do? Would you actually buy the bushel? What are you going to put them? You just turn around and sell the contract. Because the contract would go up. Because now that person who owns that contract at the in September can say, dámelo. Give me those 500,000 bushels of wheat for $6 a bushel. Do you understand what's going on here? So in that way, for people who are speculators, not hedgers, people who are hedging are producing or consuming. They're going to produce it and they're going to deliver. But if you're a speculator, you have no intention of ever producing or delivering the product. You're simply speculating. You're gambling. So in that way, futures are a lot like options, you see? But the potential for loss is staggering. Okay. Speculating is accepting the futures price risk without having a position opposite to the existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. It is the opposite of hedging. The farmer knows, come Lord willing and the creek don't rise, that he or she's going to have the 500,000 bushels. Kellogg's knows that they're going to need that wheat. But the woman sitting in West LA in her condo, she's never going to touch it. And the book, I just love it. Futures speculation is risky, but it is potentially rewarding if you can accurately forecast the direction of future commodity price movements. Can anyone accurately forecast the future?
No.
Well, can I? I would love to be the weatherman in San Diego. Night and morning, low clouds, sunny days. You'd be right 89% of the time, right? If our L.A. speculator sitting in her condo had purchased the futures and the wheat prices plummeted, she would lose a fortune. Are you with me? Understand? Futures are incredibly dangerous compared to options. Even though they have a place in the world that makes sense, in my humble opinion, but not for us. Not for the vast majority of us. Where are they traded? Well, The largest, most active futures exchange is the Chicago Board of Trade. Ah, that makes sense. The Midwest, cattle, wheat, soybeans. But Kansas City and of course, in New York, the Mercantile Exchange. But that's the big one. The long position is the buyer. The long position is the person who we'll talk about long and short, either today or Thursday, is the person who's protected from the price increase. And the short position is the seller, the producer, the one who's protected from the price decrease. Okay, so time for questions. Futures seems like options. Well, yeah, they're derivatives. The two are very similar. Financial futures work very much like options contracts. There's the potential for great reward, but there's also much more the likelihood of sustaining great losses. In fact, the potential losses from futures contracts are staggering. And just like options, they are a tremendous source of commission for your broker. I like this one. You can purchase options on futures contracts. What do you think of that strategy? I know, these brokers are going to go, hey, yeah, why not? We got options on stocks. Let's do options on futures contracts. Somebody will buy them. So final comment on futures? Yes, stay away. Stay away. Petroleum, anything, any major commodity, any metals, coal, precious metals, or forex. You'll hear people talk about forex. That's foreign exchange. That's currencies. You can say, I think the dollar is going to go up versus the yen or the peso or the euro, or I think it's going to go down. Does it mean you're right? Well, someday it's going to go down, someday it's going to go up. But what it's going to do right now, I don't know. Well, see, some people are good at it. Some people are very, very good at it. And we remember, and when we talked, remember, chapter one, we did that discussion of Merriweather, Mr. Merriweather. What's his first name? John Merriweather. And these people are very good at what they do. It is not easy. I would stay away from it, folks. They are even more potentially dangerous than options. And that is futures contracts. Okay? No. Yes?
For the Southwest incident, where they bought gas, or like they bought futures and gas, or
kerosene. Same petroleum.
That isn't just like a gamble. Because I know that you're saying that you shouldn't do it, but that, like, for a major corporation, was it basically a big gamble for them?
Well, it paid off big time, isn't it? It's a gamble in that what if prices had gone down? You see? They wouldn't have lost a whole lot, depending how far prices went down. But it's not a gamble. It's called a hedge in their particular instance because they need the oil. So eggs for any major producer or major consumer of these commodities. Because Southwest Airlines is going to need the oil, the kerosene. So if prices had gone down, oh well, it was an unnecessary expense. So you can think of them like insurance. You can think of it like insurance. Some people like to use the term insurance. But they were hedging because they knew they were going to need the oil. If they had no intentions of buying, ever taking delivery of the oil, then they are speculating, and what they are essentially doing, this is the wrong one. Was this chapter 2? Oh yeah, on the other side. Right, on the other side. Buying and selling securities, chapter 2. So if you are speculating, if you have no intentions of ever actually taking delivery or producing the commodity, you can wind up losing a ton of money. And what we're going to learn about in this chapter is what's called a margin call. And we'll discuss that what happens then. And you'll see that they know this, folks. The brokerage firms know this. And they are not going to let you lose that much money, because if you lose that much money and you skip town, who's on the hook? Did you get one of these, Marcus? Is that the... would you get that? Pass it along? If you can. Okay, not retirement accounts. That's next week. Sorry, I'm sorry. That's the next week. Okay. I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Chapter 2?